But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
So soon after Christmas. Now you're both telling me you've done it. I like the solace and peace of the Christmas tree, Bob. I like to sit in my lazy boy chair next to it and read and stay up at night and contemplate things. It's very peaceful for me, and I don't want to see it go down this soon. Christmas just happened. Now, granted, we keep it a little longer than most. My wife turns it into a Valentine's Day tree. She puts little red lights on.
Even though he didn't say, we're on to Valentine's Day.
Did. In February, she turns. We keep the Christmas motif until February. Then she puts red lights on for Valentine's Day, and then, believe it or not, Bob, she puts green lights on for St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
This bad boy's going to be standing
well
in our living room till February.
And put more green for the Masters.
Earth Day comes into June, I think, right?
Earth Day.
I think that's a personal choice. You do what you want to do. I understand why you want to look at a tree. It soothes you. You have a cup of tea or just thinking.
Yes.
It's all good. But I also know that there's a lot of work that comes with it, and I don't want to put her out too much. That's a lot of work.
What are they saying, Sean? Am I right or wrong here?
You are mostly wrong. However, there is someone who keeps it up the entire year.
What?
Which at that point
seems a little
I don't have a problem.
It's not even really
a problem
a Christmas
with that,
tree. Someone says end of January.
Yeah, so, that's reasonable.
Others say it comes down New Year's Day by the 3rd of January.
Wow. Okay. I'm off base. I admit
it. Saturday after
no, it's not a personal choice.
Do.
It's what's right and wrong. And I guess
no.
we keep it up too long.
Do you believe in Christmas in July? Do you ever have one of those parties?
No. Christmas was 2 weeks ago today, Bob. This tree's not coming down. I'm still reveling in the glow.
The phrase there, you said 2 weeks ago today.
2 weeks.
You're on to something else.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
No. I'm still in the holiday spirit. What else are they saying, Sean?
There's some people, I guess there's an Orthodox holiday on January 7th.
Right, if you respect that,
they use
our
that
neighbors
as
do
kind
that,
of their
yes.
cutoff.
And I think that's fine. We used to do that too, but, you know, again, in an effort as you get older, you don't want to deal with all these things. Before God, here's another thing. You could ask people this, Sean. If you see an incoming weather forecast, if your intention is to take down your stuff before it gets to the point where it's -4 degrees or whatever, you have a 50-degree day. You take advantage of the 50-degree
day. For sure with the Christmas lights. That's what you're referring to.
I'm referring to
all
of it.
Oh, you're referring to outdoor stuff.
You don't want to be sliding off a snowy roof. But
right.
The consensus kind of seems right after New Year's would be most people's.
Wow. I never knew. And I'm saddened by that, I think, Bob.
You're a pioneer.
It just makes you unique.
I think, yes.
Christmas in January.
I guess I never knew. Maybe this was a family tradition.
You shouldn't be impacted by any of the stuff we just said here. You should go home and do what you do.
No, we're failures, and we're the worst people on the block now. Although other people have trees in their windows still.
And you can be straight solidarity with them. You celebrate until
tree stays up till Steeler season is over. Well,
down Saturday.
Or tell Susie this. Take all the decorations off and put Steeler ornaments on, and
ooh,
it'll be like a, some sort of good luck charm.
The Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And the 50-minute mark brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township. Celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Let's talk about Gina Giampietro before we get to Lamar, John Harbaugh, Justin Fields, and Najee. Here's the thing with Gina. You can't lose. You're going to want to sell your home. You choose a price and a deadline with Gina for selling. Home doesn't sell. Gina will have it bought and turned into a rental. You can't lose. When Muhammad needed to sell his home in Cranberry, he reached out to Gina, said he's glad he did because he didn't realize the importance of working with a top-notch agent until he worked with Gina. Muhammad said that thanks to Gina, they were able to secure their forever home in a difficult buyer's market, and Gina sold their home for over $500,000. In a very constrained time frame, I might add, Bob, to make the sale and purchase fit their needs. So he said if you're selling or buying, he highly recommends Gina. So do I. If you're in Pittsburgh, in the area, and you're ready to sell your home or buy one, Call my friend Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty, 724-602-9752. Google Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com.
This is Sean Myers bringing you Fan Headlines. A former Pirates World Series winner died at the age of 89. Bob Veal, part of the 1971 championship team, passed away. Fan Headlines powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. For more, you can check out 937thefan.com.
Welcome back to the Pomp and Joe Show, and we're just heating up here, Bob. Yes, we got here before 10 o'clock. That's our job. And the first hour was very scintillating, and the second hour was only more scintillating. And yet we haven't even started yet. We got a halftime speech from our boss, Craig Riley, and now we're ready to run through a door for him, aren't we, Bob?
We're ready to do it.
Or hearing, maybe a wall.
Hearing the miracle soundbite, that also inspired.
Yes, we're going to hear from Broderick
Wouldn't
Jones.
Wouldn't that be funny if Mike Tomlin played that?
It'd be great.
Before the game. Just to say, hey, this is how I feel. This is how you should feel. They think it's easy.
Is it the greatest speech in sports history that we know of? I think it is. It's not even close.
Yeah. You know who gives good ones these days?
Who?
Is Dan Campbell.
Those are pretty good.
He's very authentic, yeah. Which I like, and he's very passionate about everything.
You think they're going to win the Super Bowl, don't you, Bob?
Well, I thought before are these injuries. Now, having this week off is going to be good for them.
What's your Super Bowl pick right now?
Right now.
Right now. I'll give you free reign. Forget
Baltimore,
about what you picked before the season.
Detroit. That would be it.
Baltimore, Detroit.
I think they're playing at a level, I don't want to say that, but if you're asking me objectively, the teams I think are the hottest right now.
Yeah.
Detroit, again, showed me with all these injuries that somehow, some way, they limited Minnesota's offense with six starters out of. I mean, it's ridiculous what they've done, and playing at home will only help them. So I think they'll get there. Who wins? I have no idea.
I think it's going to be.
Who do you think?
I think Kansas City and Philly are going to have a rematch. If I had to pick it right
Kansas
now,
Kansas City and Philly.
Yeah.
Even though, well, Jalen Hurts. Do we have an update on him? Sean, don't call me Seth. Myers.
I will investigate.
Because I think he was still in concussion protocol.
Yeah, I didn't think that he was back practicing yet.
Bob, pick a below the three seed Super Bowl. Your underdog Super Bowl. What's your best bet? So they can't be a top three seed in either conference. Pick
so you're
for
talking
me,
about 4, 5, and 6, and 7. 4, 5, 6, 7.
Pick from that in AFC and that in the NFC. Your sleeper Super Bowl, we'll call it, Bob. Mine's
okay.
Easy. Are you ready, Bob?
Go ahead. You can give me some
time. I keep saying Bob too much. I used to be accused of saying Ron too much, and I feel like I'm doing it again,
you've
Bob.
You've called me Ron, too, so that's okay.
That's because you don't open your mic like Ron used to all the time. Mine's real easy on this one. The Chargers in the AFC, I feel like, are extremely, extremely dangerous against the Rams. Chargers against the Rams. Why the Rams, you ask?
Rams are a good pick.
Thanks you for asking, Bob. It's because they have a quarterback who, when he's hot and when he gets protection in front of him, has great receivers who are healthy right now. That's a pretty good recipe. I say an all L.A. Super Bowl, Bob, in that case.
All L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
You think the Chargers are that good?
Among the bottom seeds, yes. I think they're real dangerous. I do.
This is going to, since I have to pick 4, 5, 6, or 7, I'm going to go with Denver.
Not a bad pick.
I just like the way they're playing. I think their defense is good enough to do it. If I'm going to go outside in the NFC and pick a team, I may have to pick the Packers. I know they lost Watson, very talented wide receiver, Jordan Love, but I still think they have enough on that team that could put together a run. I was going to take the Rams, but since you did, I'll defer otherwise. Rams are, they have all the veteran savvy that you need. They have a coach who's been there. Their quarterback is really good. And their two wide receivers are outstanding. So they have a lot of things that sets them apart. But I'll go Packers and Broncos if I have to do that.
Also talking big picture with Steelers-Ravens. We talked about a number of futures, reputations, contract situations on the line in this game. Here's a couple of more. Najee. There was a time this season during that winning streak, right when Russ was coming in, that everybody seemed to agree Najee looked like a better back than he had ever been. He was having the best run, no pun intended, of his career. And then he just completely fell off. Completely fell off. What happened, A, and B, how big is this game for him as far as his future employment? I don't think there's going to be a huge market for Najee. I don't think so. He averages 3.9 yards a carry in his career. He's not a needle mover. He's not a home run hitter. I hate to say he's just another back. I think he gives you a little bit more than that, but he's kind of just another back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think he's, people have seen his entire body of work this year. There are a lot of good things about what he does, for sure. He's going to get another job, but it's not going to be, $8 million a year like Derrick Henry got. What did he get, 2 years, $16 million? Is that what it was?
Yeah, I mean, he's old by running back standards.
Doesn't
he's
matter.
Ancient.
He still puts up numbers and
I know,
production.
But
I don't.
Derrick Henry went on the open market at Najee's age, he would be the highest paid running back of all time immediately.
I understand that, but he's still putting up numbers, and that was
his
market.
Yeah.
I'm just making the comparison, and I don't think he'll ever get close to that number. So what will he be willing to take, and who would be willing to pay him? That's the question, but I don't think it'll be here.
Me neither. Although I think, like with these other guys, it's your last impression. If he were to have a great, great game, then...
What would be great? 120 yards rushing?
I think we know it when we see it. Whatever it might be, a couple touchdowns, big plays at crucial parts in the game, get him more involved in the pass game. He's caught some balls lately. I think, what does he have, six catches maybe in the last couple of games? I'd like to see him get more involved in the pass game. But I want to see Jalen Warren be the guy anyway. We open the show.
Are you convinced he can be every down
I sure
primary
want to find
guy
out.
For 17 games?
I don't care. I care about this game. I'm not convinced, no, that Jalen would be a 17-game guy.
So you'd
guy
have to go out and get somebody else, and
I think
they
that's
absolutely
just,
would.
Unless you have somebody. Derrick Henry or even with Gibbs, Detroit has two guys. You have to have two guys. But I think Najee ultimately is going to be very disappointed with what he finds on the open market. That brings us to Justin Fields. I have said, based on Tomlin's comments since the Cincy game, that if I didn't know better, and I do know better, but if I didn't, I think he was secretly going to start this guy. Because he's just, his confidence in Russ has waned to the point where almost nothing would shock me. I'm convinced Tomlin will have a quick hook. What if Justin Fields comes in and has a great game? What if he comes off the bench and leads the Steelers to a win? I think that changes his future in a certain way. Sitting here right now, Bob, I don't want him to be the Steelers quarterback. And I don't think that they will bring him back as their quarterback. Do you?
Even if he comes in, plays extremely
well,
and gets them to the next game.
I said sitting here right now.
No. I think it's up in the air about all of them. I don't think they're in a position to say which one of these we're going to choose and how much money we're going to make them a multi-year deal. We're not. I think they now have to reconsider all of that, given the performances we've seen. Just as last year, they had to reconsider everything, never thinking that they'd come up with this quarterback room. I don't know. I think if to what you said, if Justin Fields gets in the game and plays well, first of all, you have to start him next week, don't you?
Of course. I mean, that could change everything for Justin Fields. He's another guy with a future on the line in this game. There's so much riding in this game.
I still would rather long-term defer to a guy who's going to be, he's mid-20s, still has, I think the ceiling is higher for him, Joe. I do. I still think with the right supervision, and the development that I saw a little bit in those first six games compared to what he had in Chicago, I think there's more upside there.
Justin Fields is a guy who, even if he doesn't play series at quarterback in this game, in my mind, needs to touch the ball. Do you agree with that?
Yes. You said five plays earlier?
In the first Baltimore game, didn't he come in and clinch the game with a couple of carries?
But I would even do it beyond fourth and one, have him be the guy. I'd do a package, something that we haven't seen from him.
Me
in other
too.
Words, he and Russell Wilson are on the field at the same time and something, just something.
I agree. I mean, he.
Even if
I
they
want
do
to
nothing
make,
with it,
right,
just to
make
get them
account for him.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Bob. Meantime, I was hoping that the Ravens would be the only ones to pipe up this week. But lo and behold, who comes along but Broderick Jones with a little bulletin board material. You ready for this, Bob?
Yeah, I haven't heard this or seen this. What happened?
Do you like that it's the Ravens this week, the familiarity?
I do. I honestly, for me personally, I wanted to play the Ravens again. I still got a bad taste in my mouth from last game. So, you know, it's I wanted to play them again. I'm glad we get to play them again. I just want to go out there and, you know, do what I can to help my team win.
I wanted to play them again, Bob. I'm glad we got to play him again. I actually think the Steelers secretly feel that way. I'm not sure I want Broderick Jones as my spokesperson, necessarily. I would have preferred an entirely under-the-radar week. I don't know if that's the most incendiary quote of all time, but it'll make it over to the Ravens. What do you make of it?
I applaud it. I have no problem with it. I like somebody who says, yeah, I want to get rid of what we did the last time and show them we're better. Whatever he said, that's not one of those statements that jumps out at you, and Baltimore's going to look at it and say, oh, you maybe they will. But to me, what are you supposed to say? No, I don't. That's a terrible matchup for you. Can't say that.
Well, no, there's a large gulf between I wanted to play the Ravens, I'm glad we got them, and we're afraid of them. You just sort of work your way around it.
He's just being honest. He's saying, yeah, I wanted a shot just to redeem ourselves from the last time we played. That's a natural reaction.
Nobody else has said it. Is he the guy you want saying it, considering the year that he's had?
No, but the statement in and of itself doesn't do anything for me.
How about
and
you, Sean?
I don't think it'll resonate in
Seth
their
Myers.
Locker room either. I don't think they're going to. If they want to go that, if they're going to look at that comment.
Do you think the soft George Pickens comment
that's
resonates?
Different.
It's different. It's more incendiary, yes. And I like that word, Bob. How about you, Sean?
I do agree, Joe, to your point that he could have said it doesn't matter who we go against. We have to worry about us being better.
Yeah, there's easy ways to work around that,
Bob. But he was asked it. I don't think it's, you know, any major bulletin board material. I don't have a problem with him saying it. To your point, it's not like what the Ravens are doing with George Pickens. So I don't think it's a big deal, although ultimately there's certainly some guys maybe a little more savvy who would have avoided mentioning wanting to play Baltimore altogether.
He wanted him. He got him. He got him, Bob. Now he better perform. I would say that, would you?
Well, yeah, he has to perform. Both those tackles, they've been bad or contributing to the bad play that we've seen. So, yes, you know, Dan Moore's smart enough not to say anything. He leads the NFL in sacks allowed. He's having some problems over there. I think so.
He leads the NFL in sacks allowed?
Can you check that, Seth? I think he does. If I'm looking at – he had 3.5 just this past week against Trey Hendrickson.
Was he responsible for all those, Bob? I actually don't know.
Yes. I don't think they offered any help over there. He got around him all the times. We'll find out if that's true. But if he's not leading, he's one of the top guys in sacks allowed.
There are only, yeah, I think you might be right here. Holy horse milk, Bob.
But I'm saying
Steelers Nation NFL in 2024, which is this season, there were only 3 offensive tackles that allowed 10 or more sacks per PFF. Dan Moore Jr., 12. Pettit Friere, or whatever his name is, 10. And Broderick Jones, 10.
That's
are you
saying.
Kidding me?
Both of the tackles.
Two of the three. All this. Off go the glasses, Bob. All they do is draft tackles. And that's all they've done. And the one guy, Broderick Jones, wasn't even going to be in the lineup. It was going to be Fatanu and Dan Moore at the beginning. And now the two guys they have out there lead the league in sacks allowed. Lead the league. Whatever happened to the Dan Moore's going to go out and get this huge payday I keep hearing
about in free agency? People keep saying it. He's not now. He's going to get a payday somewhere. So
he'll get paid for playing football. That's good. But right. There was an idea perpetuated by some in this town
this is the danger,
that he was going to be some big free agent.
Right. When you play half a season and you're playing some teams you should beat and everybody looks better and people want to spend money then, sometimes you have to really be patient, wait until an overall analysis of the entire season before you come to a conclusion like this.
I know, but in talk radio, you can't really do that.
I know. I'm talking about just, like, if you're looking at it from a fan's point of view, sometimes you have to wait and see how the whole thing works out. That's all I'm saying. And I sometimes get sucked into that myself. I don't like to be thrown out a bunch of hot takes in the middle of a season only to find out they're not so hot. And at the end of the season, they look downright cold. So,
yeah, I don't mind doing that because I think of myself like a GM, a coach, a fan, and a media person all wrapped into one. And guess what we're all doing? Analyzing and changing our minds week to week. So if I thought, for example, that the the Cleveland Browns would be good this year, after 11 weeks when they're 3-8, guess what? I don't have that opinion anymore. The Browns stink. That's what GMs, coaches, fans, and media people all do.
Yeah, but they don't rush to judgment to pay people midway through the season. That's what I'm talking about. People throw out money. Like, we all do that. Okay, oh, Russell's playing really well. He's got about 3 years, $150 million, give him 50.
Which was reasonable at the time to project that.
We heard Fields' extension talk like a month into the season, too.
Well, you'll hear it with everyone. George Pickens' extension talk, right?
Yeah.
When he was having some of his better games. And now you have a different take on him because of what's happened. And sometimes you have to step back and let it happen. And
sure. But so we can't afford to do that.
The tackles fall into that.
Yes, they do.
And so now what once looked like a strength looks like a weakness.
That's the whole point of our last hour is this is not your normal playoff game. It feels like there's a lot of people involved in this game who can benefit in an abnormally large way or the opposite way by this one little football game or this one big football game. Right, Bob?
No question. I mean, futures are on the line here everywhere you look at it. Guys who have 1 year left, no time left on contracts, where are they going to be? If you go on somewhat of a run here, you can change the narrative there too in a positive way.
What are people going to be saying about Lamar if he loses at home as a 10-point underdog and plays like crap against the Steelers? I'll tell you what. They're going to be saying, why can't Michael Jordan ever play like Michael Jordan when the chips are down?
Well, yeah. They'll call him...
Was it Craig Elo or whatever they were talking about?
Elo, yeah. But my point is, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I think if they lose, it may not be because of Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it may not. All I'm saying is the narrative around him and Harbaugh is not going to be friendly.
Oh, no. And Harbaugh's already been tortured over the years.
Right.
They've gone through similar droughts. But they also, at one point, had more first-round buys than they did playoff wins. And that's not good.
Lamar may have more MVPs here in a short while than playoff wins or wins against the Steelers. He has two of each.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Very. All right, Bob. The Cabalian Mongoose is warming up in the bullpen. Mark Cabali coming up next. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. What is Cabali's take on this game? I'm actually dying to know here. I haven't heard him on the air yet this week, although I'm sure he has been on the station. Does he think the Steelers are going to pull the upset? And it would be one of the biggest upsets in NFL playoff history. A double-digit underdog winning a game. He's next. In the meantime, let's talk a little bit about the Good Feet store and pain in your feet and how with the new year, you may have a resolution, even if it's not this pie in the sky thing. Maybe it's just I want to walk a little bit. But no, because every time you try, you get needles in your heel or burning in the balls of your feet. You may have plantar fasciitis, something like that. And I can relate. I had pain in the joints of my big toes for many years. And then I tried the Good Feet feeling. I tried the Good Feet foot arch support system designed around my feet. My shoes. You don't need a new pair of shoes here, anything like that. They've got it figured out. It's all customized to you. And it lessened my pain. It could lessen yours as well. A lot of us misdiagnosed with foot issues as well over the years. Well, I don't even care anymore what was wrong with the joints of my big toes. I care that they don't hurt. That's what I care about. I imagine you're in that boat too, a lot of you anyway. And you can come in and check it out in person. That's what I did. Robinson Town Center across from IKEA. There's a store in Cranberry Township on Route 19 North next to Walgreens. You can go to goodfeet.com. And there's a Good Feet store out in Crowley Town, otherwise known as Morgantown, at the Suncrest Town Center. So come on in. Try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet store.
With Sean Myers behind the glass, we return. It's the Pomp and Joe Show. Joe Starkey is here. I'm here. And guess who else is here? First of all, Joe, how do you come up with a nickname to Mark Cabali? I've never heard that one.
The Cabalian Mongoose?
Where did you come up with that? And Mark, your take on this nickname, because Joe is very, very quick to come up with nicknames.
That was old school. It was very, very old school.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't even know how It went from that to just mongoose to just goose.
Goose, right.
You know, Ken Laird still calls me Goose, I think.
Does he? Good old Bruce yeah. Laird from now
Bruce
from
Laird
Boston.
Calls, yeah. And John Parado, when I covered the Pirates way back when, looked at my name tag one time, and he thought my last name was Caroli. So he's called me Bella to this day.
I like that, Bella. You shouldn't. Yeah. I shouldn't have heard that because that's what you're going to be known for me now, Bella.
I like that a lot. Let's not beat around the bush, Mongoose. Who's going to win the game? What kind of game do you see happening here?
And I'm liking the Steelers. I'm really liking the Steelers, and that's very unlike me.
How about that, Bob?
How about it? He's going an outright win. Money line, baby.
Yeah, money. Oh, definitely money. I mean, that 10 points is just, I think, just absolutely slap in their face. I mean, that game wasn't that far away from being going the other way about a month ago. And we can all agree that the Steelers didn't play their best ball right there. But I think a huge factor in this game is Baltimore without Zay Flowers. I think Zay Flowers just presents a unique problem where it gives Lamar Jackson that, you know, safety blanket. It allows the Steelers to put eight guys in the box to stop Derrick Henry. Now it's going to put a lot of onus on Lamar Jackson, which I've heard through the grapevines that maybe people in Baltimore are thinking that he might be reverting back to playoff Lamar Jackson from last year, you know, trying to be hero ball, trying to do too much. Plus the whole Tomlin factor and how they beat him, what is it, 7 out of the last 9, something like that. And another factor, I'm just throwing a ton of factors in here right now. This 4-game winning streak they are on, the Ravens, you know, on the surface, 4 wins at the end of the season is pretty impressive. But my goodness, they played the Browns. They played the Texans, who lost, you know, 7 of their last 10. And they played the Giants at the time that lost 9 in a row. It's not like they were playing the Vikings, the Lions, and the Eagles in that span. So,
or the Eagles, Chiefs, and Bengals in that span. Bob, I said this at the top of the show, and you ambushed me. Go after the Mongoose.
I didn't ambush you. I just said I like the points, too. But I expect a close game. I just don't. You know, it's hard for me in these kind of situations to look at it and say, well, the Steelers should win, because right now they're not playing like that. They had just a couple of weeks ago a chance to go there and make a point, and they didn't. They had chances, sure. So there's a reason it's like that. I think it's very high. I expected 4.5, 5 points, that kind of line. When I saw 8.5 now up to 10, if I'm the Steelers, I do take that personally, and I would look at it. And again, we've been talking about miracle speeches by Herb Brooks. Mike Tomlin has a lot of fodder he could use to really fuel that team up if he wants to.
Yeah, you know, these last 3 losses, other than that Eagles game where I think they did get pushed around a little bit, that Chiefs game was close until late. Okay, you could say that they really didn't have a chance in that game. But I think the Bengals game, they were right there, a team that was red hot, a break here, a break there. They could have won that game. That's the game they probably would have won in the middle of the season. And even that Baltimore game, I mean, Russ fumbled at the 1-yard line or something like that. And
I'm with you on the Baltimore game.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, it was a late bad throw.
Not the others. I'm not willing to throw in all these caveats that you're throwing these guys. I don't even think the Steelers are very good, but the Ravens are a particular matchup for them. I don't know that I picked the Steelers against anybody else in the AFC field, maybe the whole NFL field. They might be the worst team in all the playoffs, and I'm not qualifying their collapse here. I'm simply saying it's the team they know best and the team they beat the most. It's the Steelers' dream matchup. How do you like that?
I don't know if it's dream matchup. I'm sure they would have liked to probably play Houston, but they could have easily went to Houston and lost that game. But I get your point, man. You get down there and they have to. They can't be thrilled, the Baltimore Ravens.
Let me rephrase that. It's not the Steelers' dream matchup. You're right. I would have rather played Houston. It's the Ravens' nightmare matchup. That's better said.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you want to play the Steelers because, I mean, it was a month ago we were saying that the Steelers owned this team. And the team was in their heads, and Lamar Jackson couldn't play, and all this other stuff. I mean, I just don't think the Steelers are that far off. I mean, a play here, a play there changes the outcome of a lot of these games. They're going to have to play some of their best ball. They're going to have to play their middle-of-the-season type of ball. They're going to be able to have to run the ball. They're going to have to throw on rhythm. They're going to have some splash plays. They're going to have to turn off, just like every single team in the playoffs. But to just totally just wipe it clean and say they have absolutely no chance of winning this game, that's absolutely wrong. I don't, like
I don't know how many people are saying they have no chance. I'm not saying.
I think people around the country are saying it. I hear people saying that the most shocking result of this whole weekend would be the Steelers beating the Ravens.
All right, let's break it down this way, Mark. We have talked all season long about how they start games, right? It's very predictable.
Yeah.
And predictability is not good this time of year, especially against a team you know well. So how important is it for them, you know, if you're going to talk about winning a game in Baltimore? To me, they got to come out and dictate pace right off the bat and get a lead. And I'm not talking about a Chris Boswell 40-yard field goal lead. I'm talking about a sustained drive, which result in 7 points and do something they haven't done all year to send a message. Now, if you're talking about Baltimore, they may be feeling it even more so if you do that.
Yeah, it's absolutely a perfect situation there. Not only to put on points, something they haven't did all season, score a touchdown, but then all of a sudden Baltimore saying, uh-oh, this team's in it for, you know, this team's come to play. We can have our trouble. Sure, you would love to do that. I mean, Arthur Smith just talked a little bit ago, and he would have disagreed with your predictability comment.
What
there,
do you
Baltimore.
Say? What do you say?
When you run the ball on 12 of 13 first downs plays, I think that's the definition of predictability.
That's what I'm saying.
Right?
And also first drives, isn't it predictable? You can break down plays any way you want, but they're not doing anything in the first possession of the game.
Yeah, I mean, how much is that for Arthur Smith, or how much is that for some execution as well? I'm sure it's both hand in hand. But, I mean, the perfect situation would get on top of them early there and let them sweat a little bit, and then you can pretty much dictate some pressure. I mean, this is still a defensive secondary. It's not very good, either one of them. But, I mean, it's not like the Ravens secondary is great, other than maybe Cal Hamilton, I guess.
Wait a second. Mile Humphrey. Marlon Humphrey, Kyle Hamilton. Wiggins looks like a good rookie. I think they have a pretty good secondary.
Listen, about 4 weeks ago, that was considered one of the worst pass defenses in the league. You tell me they all of a sudden got great.
They changed. Do you think Hamilton's a great player? I do. Do you think Humphrey is? I do. And I think Wiggins is an up-and-coming rookie.
Yeah, I'm saying that, but I'm not saying that they're the, like I said, a month ago they were terrible. I don't see them all. Humphrey is up and down. I don't think Humphrey is a star. I know he's a Pro Bowler, but I think he can be had. So I think you can throw him on him. They're going to have to throw in rhythm. I mean, first of all, what they're going to have to do is have some semblance of a run game. I mean, everything's predicated off their run game. And if you keep running and putting them in the third sevens and third and eight, you're just not going to win. You're going to have to run this ball 25, 30 times a game. You're going to have, you know, 4 to 4.5 yards per carry. You're not going to be able to allow them to hold the ball for 35, 40 minutes like this has happened over this span. That's number one. If you're able to do that, you're taking a big step into winning in this game.
Mark Cabali from the Pat McAfee Show, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge. Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You would agree with me, I'm sure, big boy, that if Pickens scores a touchdown, he has to mimic putting cologne on, right? With the little spray bottle on his neck, right, Bob?
Well, there's a lot of misinformation out there about everything nowadays, right? From the Steelers celebrating their victory dance when it was just, you know, them breaking each other down or whatever you call it before the game, to this soft George Pickens, which is just a brief cut up of what was not really said. I mean, what's going on in this world?
What do you mean what was not really said?
That's not what was really said. It was a longer clip to it, and all you heard was a guy in the background looking through a magazine and seeing a picture and said, and he showed it to somebody, he goes, oh, that looks like Pickens. Meanwhile, the guy next to him says, oh, that smells soft, about the cologne. So they put it together to make it sound like it sounded, they said George was soft, but it was two separate conversations.
I thought that is what they said.
You're saying they edited it?
Just how they, no, they, well, the longer clip is now out there if you go look for it. And you can hear in the background somebody's showing somebody a picture and they're saying, yeah, you could tell just by his facial structure, that looks like George Pickens. And meanwhile, the guy next, you know how you're taping somebody or whatever, and you pick up the conversation next to you sometime, it was like perfectly timed. And somebody cut it up and made it sound like that or something. So that was not true.
Hold on. Hold on here, Bob. This is a story from the BaltimoreBanner.com, how our video created fake Steelers-Ravens drama. What is happening here? Kabali.
So who's... Wait a minute. I don't understand. Somebody's going to have to explain that to me in detail. I understand what you said, but they're saying their television station now did this?
You have to read the story.
A popular Ravens account on X took a snippet of the video that the Baltimore Banner had, telling more than 50,000 followers that Ravens players had said, quote, it smells like George Pickens. Soft. Yeah, smells just like that. They're saying the only problem, Gianna, who works for them, shot the video last week before the Ravens even knew they'd be playing the Steelers, and the full video of Travis Jones talking reveals that the players near him were not comparing Pickens to the cologne, Bob. They were separately discussing somebody who resembles Pickens. The actual quote is this. Yeah, just like that, the face alone, you wouldn't even have to say the facial profile. They didn't say he was soft, Bob. The people who put out the video are saying that now.
Well, I'm glad that that's the case then.
It's too late now.
It's too late. It's already been, well.
If I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm not giving the correction Mark, here. I'm telling him they think he's soft.
Have you had a chance to talk to George Pickens this week?
Yeah, is that a joke, Bob?
Yeah, funny. Pretty much.
You're funny. You're funny. Today is so messed up over here on the south side from the moving practice, moving availabilities, when you're able to talk to anybody. Nobody knows what's going on. So all I know is we talked to the coordinators, and that was about it, and now they're over at Acrisure Stadium. But nothing's happening over Acrisure Stadium until they come back here. Then you can potentially talk to Russell. I don't know what's going on. So it's really a messed up day here.
All right. I'm going to give you...
No, George didn't talk.
Okay.
No, I knew that.
Do you think George uses... Either way, do you think George is a highly motivated, focused player going into this game, or are we ready for the Ravens to torture him and have him basically quit and drop passes like last week?
Ooh, wow. I mean, that can go either way, right? Yeah, I can see both things happening. I mean, I think George, I mean, that's something you just never see from him is dropping passes. I mean, he makes two or three of those catches, and that's a different ball game in Cincinnati. You're not sitting here talking about firing Tomlin and a collapse here. You're talking about them, you know, winning 11, 12 games here, saying that. That's what makes him so unique or so intriguing. I don't know which way it's going to go. I mean, you can really see George coming out there and putting up monster numbers, right? You can just see it. But you can see a drop here. Somebody gets a chirping in his ear and throws him totally off the game. And before you know it, Russell's talking to him on the sideline. Friermuth's talking to him on the sideline. I guess I don't have a great answer for you because it could go either way, other than my binoculars will probably be on George a lot on the sidelines to see how he reacts. But that's probably going to go a long way in determining who wins this game as well, how he acts and how he performs.
All right, let's talk about something else that comes into play, and that would be this defense, because the last time we saw them in Baltimore, they had an opportunity to bail out Russell Wilson after that fumble, and they allowed a 96-yard drive that resulted in a touchdown. This defense has given up some things. In the Cincinnati game, again, first drive, not good, but they settled down. What do you expect from this defense against that offense, especially if I suspect they're going to run the ball an awful lot with both Lamar Jackson and Henry now that there is no Zay Flowers?
Yeah, I mean, I would think that they're going to do all their capabilities of trying to stop Derrick Henry because, I mean, when he gets going, you have no chance of winning. And when you hold him in check for the most part like you did in October, you win games. So at this point, you're basically saying, if that's me, Lamar Jackson, you have to go beat me. And that's crazy to think of when he's probably going to be a three-time MVP here coming up and you want him to go out there and beat you. But that might be your best shot. It is your best shot to have him do that with the lack of weapons he has. You have to obviously handle Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely. But other than that, I think number one priority is stopping that run. I mean, cliche as it can be, I think they have the ability to keep Lamar in the pocket and not have him beat you with his legs. They're going to hopefully think that he can't beat him with his arm again. So that's which way I think they'll go. They can't let Derrick Henry do it. It's just over. Because time of possession.
Well, how about the first time? Henry didn't get many carries at all. Once he fought.